And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are having a great day. Currently outside, 25 degrees, plus get up to the mid-40s today for a high. And then we drop to a high of just 22 tomorrow. And joining us in studio from the K-State Extension Wildcat District, we have Wendy Powell with us this morning. And Wendy, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you, Kyle?
Doing good. It's good to have you here in the studio. And before we get started on your subject for today, you have some events coming up, correct?
Yes, we do. We've got several things. We're kicking off the new year with lots of activities. So first of all, today is the vegetable varieties for Bountiful Harvest. That's a part of the K-State Garden Hour program. And then next week, we will start our risk management program that covers enterprise budgets, crop insurance, crop marketing, farm bill programs, things like that. And that will round off in later February with the cow-calf marketing strategic meeting. So if anybody is interested in taking that class series, we just found out yesterday that they're extending the early bird registration through Friday. So the rate is still that lower rate. And so just call any of the extension offices to get signed up for that or check out the Facebook page. The Serve Safe Food Handlers training, it will happen January 25th in Independence. That program is $15. It's advertised there on our Facebook page. And then we're also doing a Winning the Grain Game marketing risk management workshop. And I'm sure James will talk about that next week, but that program is January 17th. So that'll be a lot of good information.
All right. So again, good stuff coming up. And let's go ahead and talk about your subject for today. Talk about predation. One of the first questions I want to ask you, what predators might be of concern for livestock producers?
Yeah, so at least in my operation, I know several of my neighbors as well, we're starting our calving season any day now, actually. So, of course, one of the things that come to mind is, you know, making for sure that those calves can grow through weaning. So we've got to start that conversation now. Coyotes are a problem in our area. Actually, I was listening to a podcast on the way over. Some NAS, National Ag Statistics, numbers were thrown out in 2015. 11% of our calf population, newborn calf, that mortality rate is due to predation. So 11% of our newborns are actually expiring because of predation. So that's a big concern. I mean, 11% and I have only 8 calves. That's a big concern.
Absolutely.
Coyotes are the big thing around here. The other big chunk of that 11% is due to gray wolves. But here in southeast Kansas, we don't really have to worry about gray wolves, but coyotes definitely are a problem. Stray dogs can be part of that conversation. Mountain lions can be part of that conversation, although that's a kind of a rare occasion that's getting to be more of a conversation topic.
Yeah, I can imagine running into a mountain lion or a cougar or whatever they call it. I think it really depends on what part of the country you're in, but I can imagine running into one of those out there. That would be frightening, to say the least.
Yeah. The specialist this morning was talking about how since 2015, there's been about 50 sightings of mountain lions in Kansas. So it's kind of sensational, you know, once your neighbor starts to, he mentions that he sees one, then, you know, I saw something brown the other day moving through the trees. It might have been a bobcat, but I bet it was a mountain lion. So it was kind of sensational. Once someone sees mm-hmm. one, then they that kind of gets multiplied. But they are around, so it is something of concern.
Absolutely. So how can a producer take action against a coyote or any other kind of predator that is damaging property?
Yeah, so in Kansas, our state statutes or regulations just call for any animal predator that is damaging property and livestock are considered property, that producers can take action to remove those individuals from the population. So if you do have a coyote that's causing problems, you can put out traps. You can bring in someone else that might be an expert. You can try to take care of that problem yourself. But certainly you can call the extension offices and we can put you in contact with our state specialist who can get you some equipment on loan, teach you how to take care of those problems yourself. In other states, that's not quite the case. So I know we're on the Oklahoma border here, Kyle. So I don't want to be misunderstood. In Oklahoma, it is a little bit different. They have a group that is part of USDA essentially, but it's kind of trickled down, that will help with some cost share on population predator control. So whenever you cross state lines, the regulations become different. And so certainly you want to make for sure that you're following your own state rules. But here in Kansas, you can take care of problems. Now, when we talk about the mountain lion population, that kind of gets to be a gray line. If you extinguish a mountain lion from a population, you better pretty well have proof that your livestock were being damaged by a mountain lion. And you can tell a mountain lion animal death is different than a coyote kill, and even different from probably what a gray wolf would look like.
Yeah, it's probably a lot more violent, probably a lot more, I hate to say it this way, probably a lot more of a mess that way, just because the strength of the animal.
Sure. Well, and the way they attack also, I mean, you're going to have claw marks at different places. They're going to attack different parts of the newborn calf. So you can certainly tell if an individual that has livestock can't tell, certainly call one of the extension offices and we can help you with that. And we'd be happy to work with you on getting that under control. So speaking of control, if you're not having a problem with coyotes, then I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to try to start hunting coyotes to prevent a problem, because they coyotes are very interesting. I'm learning. They have territories, the ones that breed, and then they have transient coyotes. So if you've got a coyote that is in your single square mile or so, that's about what their home range is, then that resident coyote likely knows where the sources of rabbits or mice are, and that's their main diet, not cattle or sheep or small animals, or I'm sorry, any livestock. So whenever a resident coyote has been removed from a population, then some of those transient coyotes will be willing to come in, and if they don't know where the resource are of where the rabbits or mice or those preferred small animals are, then they're going to go after what's convenient. So if you're not having a problem, I would really discourage you from creating one in the future.
All right. And you were talking about traps and whatnot. That's one thing you have to worry about. Traps, though, is making sure your own animals don't get caught in those traps, correct?
Sure. Yeah. And that's one thing that our wildlife specialist can teach you. If you are having problems, then, like I said, they have the equipment to loan, but they also provide the education to go along with all of that.
So are there strategies that can be implemented to prevent predation problems?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to go everything by the book and check all of the boxes, then all of your birthings will happen in a barn in a nice well-lit stall, and you'll have, you know, foot-thick bedding, and everything's going to be just like James Herriot paints in his beautiful pictures with all creatures great and small. However, that is not the reality in Southeast Kansas. So really, you want to make for sure that you're observing your birthing population frequently. So not only are you looking for problems with birthing, but you're also going to be looking to make for sure that those newborns are healthy and safe. The other thing would be to monitor how well the mothers are doing taking care of those newborns. So I'm sure most folks out there that have been in the industry for a while, they know that new mothers, especially the bigger animals like cows, horses even, those animals that have had a baby recently, they are protecting a newborn. And some of those critters, Kyle, will get downright dangerous. And that's why we can go into later, if we've got time, some safety in winter and calving season. But those animals are there to help protect that newborn. And so if your mothering population is not really protective of those newborns, then that might be something that you need to work on. Maybe get a guard dog if we're talking sheep and goats, things like that. Along the sheep and goat conversation, you want to make for sure that your fencing is good. I don't know if coyotes really jump fences, but I know they'll crawl through fences. And if anything, if they think they can get their nose through it, they probably can try to get the rest of their body through it. So make for sure that you don't have holes in the fence. Make for sure that you're checking your animals. Those are the things that are really, I would say, easy to check off the list as far as the livestock producer goes. But the closer you can get those animals to your home, observe them more frequently, especially with the human traffic, that will discourage any predators as well.
All right. So some good stuff there to talk about, talking about predation this morning. And Wendy, if anybody has any questions about what we've talked about today and they maybe want a little more information, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. You can reach me at the Altamont office. That phone number is 620-784-5337. And, of course, my email is Wendy, W-E-N-D-I-E, Powell, P as in Paul, O-W-E-L-L, at ksu.edu.
All right. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for coming in. And we're going to talk to Davin here for a moment. And, Davin, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you in studio. And before we go to break, can you just kind of preview what you'll be talking about in the second part of our program?
Yeah, I'll be talking about a little bit about skunks coming up after the break and the different types of skunks in Kansas and also how you can prevent them from moving a little too close to your house for comfort.
We don't want those guys very close at all. All right, well, again, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Let's go ahead and take that break right now. You're listening to Mighty 690 KGGF.
And have varying amounts of white on the head, back, and tail. So each one will be marked a little bit differently. Adults are 20 to 30 inches long, including their tail, and usually weigh between 3.5 and 10 pounds, so they're a little bit bigger than the spotted skunk. And as everyone probably knows, skunks are known for their odor, and striped skunks' musk has a characteristic pungent odor. But they
to say the least.
Yeah. to kind of put it nicely. So skunks are shyer, more secretive animals, and they only discharge their scent when they are disturbed or harassed, so usually when they're scared. They are the least popular of all wild animals because of this odor. yet they are beneficial because nearly half of their diet is insects, so they do a good job of keeping insects down, and the remaining part of their diet is made up of about 20% fruit and about the other 20% mice. Diets do vary depending on a skunk's location and the time of year on what's available to them, but they do their part to keep insects and mice down. So while we don't tend to like them close to our houses because of their odor, of course, when we come upon them and startle them, having them somewhere on the property isn't necessarily a bad thing because it'll help keep those insects and mice down for you.
Absolutely. So they do a good job with that. I think some people may not realize that. Just kind of let them do their own thing. They'll keep your mice out and keep the insects down. They'll help you out there. So if you get the unfortunately get sprayed by a skunk, nobody wants to get sprayed by a skunk. I was telling you about a dog that got sprayed by a skunk and he thought he just started yelping away because he got hit with it. So how can you get rid of that skunk odor? Because it's, like as you said, very pungent to say the very least.
Yes, and unfortunately it is difficult to neutralize the odor and it persists for a long time, which I'm sure anyone who has had the misfortune of being sprayed by a skunk, or like we were talking during the break, dogs being sprayed by a skunk, it can be really tough to get that odor out. Household products that help remove skunk odor include ammonia, bleach, vinegar, washing soda, laundry soaps, Some people also say a smoke from a citronella candle, and of course, canned tomatoes or tomato juice. This is probably one of the most well-known ways, and oftentimes the way I've seen in movies, the dog gets sprayed by the skunk and they give the dog a bath in tomato juice. However, it is very important to note, if you're trying to get rid of skunk odor, do not mix ammonia and chlorine bleach, as this combination may form a gas that is toxic if inhaled, even in small amounts. So if you or your dog get sprayed by a skunk, it's very important to not mix ammonia and bleach while you're trying to neutralize that odor.
And while skunks can help us, like we were talking about with mice and insects, we really don't want them too close to the property. So how can we prevent skunks from living close to your house?
Right. To help prevent skunks from living close to your home, kind of like any smaller wildlife, skunks, raccoons, it's just a basic cleanup and destroy any dens that you find close to your house and remove food source. Expose pet food, such as maybe you have a cat or a dog and that food just kind of gets left out in the bowl for them to eat throughout the day as they want. That makes an easy food source for skunks or wildlife. So taking that away, keeping garbage picked up in secured trash cans where they can't get into it. And also keeping any wood piles that could be harboring mice farther away from the house, because mice is one of their main food sources. And then block any openings in foundations, as these can become an easy den for them to make. And under steps as well, using concrete, sheet metal, or wire netting can be bent outward about 12 inches at the bottom to form an L to make a secure closure to block off that opening. And this will prevent skunks from burrowing under. Like if you just put a piece of plywood up, that's always pretty easy to find around and throw up real fast. But you'll want to come back and make that more secure and more of that L shape, or the piece of sheet metal within concrete, so skunks just can't burrow under it and then continue making themselves a nice den under your porch steps. And then, of course, destroying other den sites, such as any rock piles, junk piles you may have out behind the barn or the garage, and then even old cars, and then open buried culverts or pipes. So anything like that that kind of has an opening that's easy for them to get into and will provide shelter, you want to try and keep those opportunities farther away from your house.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-edged sword with skunks, because they can be beneficial one way, but another way, we don't want them close to us at all either. So
exactly. They can be beneficial, but of course no one wants them taking up residence, maybe like right under your porch, and then having that risk of when you walk out to go to work getting sprayed.
Yeah,
by the
because
skunk.
because they're right under you, and you spook them, you know, and they spray, and you're like, what on earth, you know? So, and you have to call into work that day. I can't come in. Why? I got sprayed by a skunk. Stay at home. So, don't bring that to work. All right. Well, David, some good information there about skunks today. So, if anybody does have any more questions, though, they would like to know maybe a little bit more, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me by calling the Independence office. That number is 620-331-2690. Or you can also send me an email at adaven@ksu.edu.
All right, Adaven. And Wendy, we'll come back to you one more time. Again, if anybody has any questions for you, how can they get a hold of you once more?
Yeah, I can be reached. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat, I guess. The phone number to the Altamont office is 620-784-5337.
All right. Well, ladies, again, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start open line. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning in Southeast Kansas.